Here's Derek Dreger, Hockey Insider. Dregs, how do you see these Boston injuries playing out tomorrow night?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It sounds like Grzelcyk is more or less good to go, and I'm with you guys thinking that Zdeno Chara is going to play. I mean, you know, there's no concrete evidence to say that other than, you know, this guy, you know, if we use the term in pro sports, he's a warrior. He is. I mean, he, you know, if he can physically find a way to do it, it'll be up to the medical people of the Boston Bruins to say you're not playing. Otherwise, I think he'll put, you know, he'll put the cage on or whatever is necessary, and he'll play. If he can't play, then medically he is incapable of playing, and reportedly he suffered a broken jaw, so it makes sense that he wouldn't, but I'd never bet against that guy.
Legendary yeah. status, it's already been achieved by him. He's a Hall of Famer. He's one of the great defensemen of the past 20, 25 years, but... Man, you come back with a broken jaw.
And I think he does exactly what we talked about. I think it was Ray talking about Ray Bourque. He'd be the last guy out of the gate and yeah. fire that crowd up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, it's a great play.
And here's the other thing. There's no guarantee he has to play 25 minutes.
No.
Like, he
no.
may be begging Cassidy, like, I can give it 10, 12 minutes.
Kill penalties,
you know, like yeah. it's not, that could be a scenario where they just, and I know this is kind of a weird analogy, but sometimes it's nice to have dad sitting at the supper table, you know what I mean? And that's, I was thinking about that when it comes to the Bruins, like yeah. the effect that that's going to have through the dressing room alone. When he's staring down at Pasternak and DeBrusk and them going, okay, let's go here. Yeah. I got a broken jaw. You better get in and go get that puck.
Well, Chara isn't involved in a ton of scrums, but if you're Patty Maroon...
You've got to punch him.
You've got to. I mean, yeah. or as hard as you can possibly play him on the forecheck, if he's out there, he's fair game. I mean, that's just the way the game is played.
I'll tell you what, Dregs, if you punch him in the face, if you play him again in the regular season, you better watch for your life.
Yeah, he'll be in the parking lot.
Yeah, he will Brian McCabe you twice over.
You've got to, though, man. It's a cup final.
No, you're right.
You've got to take a beating down the
prison
road.
Rules.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No it question.
Is. Yeah,
no.
You have to. With Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider, why is Taylor Hall trending these days, Dregs? What's going on with him and his contract situation down in New Jersey?
Yeah, you know, it's static is what it is. I mean, he has another year left on his contract. And, you know, everybody wants to leap to the John Tavares conclusion. You know, Tavares went through the song and dance with the New York Islanders, and then obviously he decided that he was going to move, and he signs with the Maple Leafs. But there are lots of other examples of players who haven't done that in the status of a Taylor Hall. What I know is that there's certainly been no decision made by Taylor Hall that he's going to go to free agency. I guess I'd be a little surprised if he didn't at least go a distance. You know, why not have a look at what Jack Hughes looks like in a New Jersey Devils uniform if that's the way they go? Nico Hischier another year in the National Hockey League. You know, get a sense for what this team is all about. Because I'll tell you this, Hall likes New Jersey. He likes the Devils. The Devils are noted for being a very good organization under the management of Ray Shero and making sure medically that guys are looked after the way they're supposed to be looked after. So all the player needs, New Jersey is one of those teams that goes above and beyond, and that hasn't been lost on Taylor Hall. So I'm not saying he's staying there. What I'm saying is he needs a lot more time before he makes that conclusion. And there's been some whispers that Shero is going to want a decision on the direction of Taylor Hall by the draft. Nah, that's not true either. I mean, Shero he hasn't established any deadlines. He's going to want to know at some point whether or not Taylor Hall is in, but he doesn't need to know by the next couple of weeks.
Well, it's the same as the Tavares thing, Dregs. When they say this is not, they've probably offered him a boatload of money over a long term, and he basically said, "It's not. I don't want to play in New Jersey anymore." So they're gonna BS back and forth saying this is a business, blah blah blah. But I would say it would come down to he does not want to play with the New Jersey Devils after next season.
Well, I just don't think he's made that conclusion yet.
Dregs, so how would he not have known? Like, I think John Tavares knew that he wasn't going back to the Islanders as soon as going into the first day of training camp into that last year in Long Island.
Well, this is could it. Be. I mean, he left a lot of money on the table not to go back to the New York Islanders, to your point, and took less to sign with the Toronto Maple Leafs. But, I mean, what we're being told is that, you know, Hall just wants to get healthy, number one. I suspect he'll be in New Jersey getting checked out again at some point this week or early next week. And, you know, then he's going to put up with the rumors and the speculation. And every city he steps into, he's going to get questioned on the way Tavares did, the way that Stamkos did, and others have in the past.
Right. Well, they don't need any answer until, you know, the trade deadline next year, basically. I don't see why you would.
I mean, I don't even know why. Like, even, you know where you're going to, what you're going to make as far as a price point, or you have an idea.
Right.
So, I think even if you extended with the New Jersey Devils at some point, and if he doesn't like the direction, you can go to Shiro and go, listen, I need a move here.
And he's in a different category, too, in the sense that, you know, he's not likely going to look at a five-year deal. Why would he? I mean, you know, he's past that stage. You know, he's going to want the eight-year maximum. You know, he's going to want to cash out again.
Yeah.
And deservedly so. So, and I'm not one who believes that Hall's trade value is going to diminish. I think he'd have to sustain, God forbid, you know, another significant injury early in the year, because I think everybody has seen enough, haven't we, of Taylor Hall
and what a
type player he can be.
Yeah, for sure. No, he would. Listen, I understand why he's going to start to get a little bit jealous about other players playing in the playoffs as well. I mean, he was in Edmonton forever. They never made it. Yeah. Gets to New Jersey. They got in. He won the MVP, but they got knocked out in the first round. And then this year they returned to
back
utility,
down to the bottom,
you know, and like I can understand his situation is way different than Stamkos, who was in a cup final as a member of the Lightning. And, you know, the Islanders, I guess, are somewhat similar to Jersey, and but Tavares would get there a few times.
Paul's in a situation where he's seen enough about the league, and he probably trains in certain places around the league. He knows how cool it would be to play in L.A. or what it's like in this market or that market, and that's when you're thinking, I got one kick at the can here to play the prime of my career, make big-time dollars where I want to.
Right.
So,
Well, I mean, I hope he takes his time because it makes it more interesting, right?
For
sure it does. And it could be tricky. I mean, I understand why people are talking about it and writing about it now. I mean, the same thing kind of happened with Erik Karlsson, right? And he got traded to San Jose, played out the year, and now there's certainly no guarantee that he's staying in San Jose, no guarantee that they're even remotely willing to pay him what it would take to keep him there. And then conversely, you've got the Deshane DeZingle situation in Columbus, where he got traded near the trade deadline and found a way to help that team into the playoffs. So there are lots of options with Taylor Hall.
With Darren Dreger, a hockey insider. Speaking of Erik Karlsson, I guess he had surgery on his groin. You know, they said he'll be prepared to start the 2019-2020 season. I hope so, because whoever signs
I was just going to say, that's great, unless you're the guy who's got to commit to the 7-year maximum at, you know, what's he going to command? $10 million a year?
70, it's going to cost you $70
million. Yeah.
That's what I would think. 10 a year for 7 years. And I was looking at his stat. He's almost a point-a-game guy. Like,
the
0.9.
The injuries have changed everything.
He's willing to say, I've been injured. I'll take $1 million off, but I'm still at 10.
But he hasn't really been that injured. Like, the year before, he played 71 games. The year before that, he played 4 seasons in a row at 82. It's just this past season that he missed 25 games.
Well, like, I watched a clip earlier today online, and I think it was shortly after they announced that, San Jose announced that he had had groin surgery. And, you know, there was a clip of him laboring in the playoffs. I mean, it was it was hard to watch. It was hard to watch. And you're sitting there going, really? Like, I understand you want to do whatever you can to help the team. And maybe half of Erik Karlsson is better than what you've got in your bottom pairing. And obviously he can provide some offense and help you with special teams. But, man, again, if you're signing that big check, you'd better be getting a 75% of what Erik Karlsson used to be.
Dregs, every year Pierre LeBrun comes on with us around this time and says, things are really going to start moving and shaking. There's going to be a lot of movement. Right before the draft, leading up to the draft, there's a lot of teams interested in making deals, and we usually get feathers.
Yeah.
Chances on that this year.
No, it'll be better than Feathers, you know, because there's some significant pieces in play. Like I look at Winnipeg, and it's well known that Cheveldayoff is having conversations on Jake Trouba. So, you know, that's a pretty significant piece. You know, that's enough to keep us chewing for a little while. I just don't think that it's going to drift, you know, beyond the draft. You know, teams are still cleaning up their pro scouting meetings right now. A few of them are going to go back into a second run of amateur meetings before the draft. But by then, Cheveldayoff will have full lay of the land. And he'll have his offers and his options in. And that's not a bad place to start, you know, I think. And then you've got the Pittsburgh scenario. I mean, Jimmy Rutherford is obviously playing chicken with Phil Kessel, isn't he? I mean, he's made it clear to Kessel and Newport, he's staying in Pittsburgh. And to me, that's just a full bluff job, right? You either concede to a trade that we have with Minnesota, or you're staying in Pittsburgh. And you may not like it, and you may not like how we're going to play you moving forward here, but... I think that's going to come to a head at some point in
the near future. Well, I would suggest Jimmy Rutherford watches what he wishes for, because I could see Phil being like, fine, you think you're going to squeeze me? Wait till I'm showing up like Andy Ruiz Jr. for day one of camp. And like, because I don't think Phil cares. And no. To be honest with
and
you,
if
listen.
They threaten him, you're going to go ride in the bus in the minors.
Yeah,
$8 million.
And you also, man, he deserves some respect there. He won them two cups.
Right.
You know, it wasn't just him, but you know, and I understand this is the way business works. And but he's got the no trade deal.
Yep.
He's got it in his contract.
Yeah, and they traded for that contract.
They're the ones that acquired him.
Yeah,
and he didn't ask to go to Pittsburgh originally. They traded for him. So you know, I'm with you. I mean, you're hearing it.
I think they'll get it.
He's going to go. They're probably going to move him, but he's a lot like Patrick Marleau's in the same spot, right? Like Marleau's got a full no trade, full no move. Sounds like Marleau's going to be okay with a deal, but he's going to control what happens.
Yeah, and I, you know, there's been discussions between clubs. You know, L.A. As Pierre LeBrun has reported, Arizona as Pierre LeBrun has reported. You know, there's been some tire kicking. But these are teams that are looking for a significant upgrade, a sweetener, a prospect, something to make that Marleau deal happen. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Patrick Marleau starts the year in Toronto.
With the idea that he will be dealt at some point?
Maybe.
Or
I mean,
just because they can't work out a deal that makes sense?
Yeah, probably more the latter. I mean, he has a full no-move clause. And I feel like the whole family thing has been blown a little bit out of proportion. I don't get the sense from those close to Marleau that there's nearly as much going on the trade front as we've been speculating. But look, I'm not saying that we collectively as media are wrong here. All you got to do is plant the seed, and the seed is that there have been conversations. But if you're Kyle Dubas, you have to have those conversations, don't you? And you know that there are only three or four teams that Marleau and family would even consider going to.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that those teams really want them. And the only reason they would want them is, you know, because they've got to get something to entice them to take on that final year of the contract.
Well, that's where, again, like Phil, like with Kessel and trying to squeeze him, like, Marleau deserves a ton of respect. They will show him respect.
But yeah, what do you mean by squeezing? Like trying to force him into something?
Yeah, basically. Oh. The difference is if you're quote-unquote stuck with Phil, Phil's giving you 85 points next year. Patrick Marleau is not giving you anything more than, in my opinion, a fourth-line player.
That's exactly right.
Like, and that's just who he is now.
If he gets on a heater, he can play some third-line minutes, maybe some secondary power play. That's right. He proved that. He did it himself.
Yeah, he can get you 15 goals.
Does he want to deal with that here in Toronto, where if you're in it to win it, you know, the reality is you may not play every night. That Iron Man streak you love so much, we cannot guarantee you you're playing.
Yeah, but you know that going in, Brian, right? And he would have pushed for that third year of the contract. So that's what you get. And
for him to leave San Jose, that was the kicker.
And he got it.
Yeah, he got it.
That's the contract. I hear you.
Well, and Zach Hyman is not going to start the season.
Yeah.
So the left side, I mean, right now, the left side, you have Johnsson, if he signed, Trevor Moore, and Marleau.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Under contract. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure I'm missing somebody.
That's right.
But
that's,
at the National Hockey League,
minor leaguers.
Engvall or whatever, whoever comes up.
Marchment or something like that.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, no, you're right. I'm not saying he won't play. It's not like he can't play.
Right.
But he really started to fade towards the end of this year.
Yep, dipped.
And
yep.
If it's a similar situation at the trade deadline next year, just because you're getting paid and you're under contract, you don't get to control when you get on the ice.
No, that's right. That's right.
We'll see. All right, buddy. Good stuff as always.
Okay, boys. Have a good night.
There he is, Darren Dreger, our hockey insider.